You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
I am joined by Grayson Gilmore of Ponicky post-punk outfit So So Modern, who are returning to the scene with their first new material in 13 years. Their EP, Light Years, will be a collection of tracks written in the decade since their last release. The motto here is time beats everything. The songs on this EP offer clarity, restraint, and simplicity. They showcase both an acknowledgement and a misremembering of the straightforward punk and pop that inspired them in their youth. Ahead of the EP, we receive Peace Talks, a single reflecting on coming of age within fringe community within the late 90s, early aughts. Here now to chat all about it, track and the forthcoming release. Welcome, Grayson. How are you?
Morena. I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted to have you. We've established that both of our mornings are going fairly well. Neither of us have died, which is very positive.
Yeah, totally. I don't even have a cold or anything. I'm in good health.
Wow.
Life couldn't be better. So, yeah.
You've got to take that when it comes. You know, when you get a cold and you just go, I didn't appreciate when I didn't have a cold. I didn't appreciate when I could breathe through my nostrils.
No, I had my flu jab really early and I got really sick. And I was like, I think I've paid my dues early on. So I'm hoping that, like, science is really going to, like, pull through for me this winter and yeah. I won't get sick again. So, yeah.
Beautiful. I hope so. I hope so too. Now, the single here, Peace Talks, it meditates on coming of age and it offers a particular snapshot of late 90s, early 2000s Aotearoa and counterculture communities. It reiterates to us that very familiar yet still beautiful notion that friends are the family you choose. What was it about this particular track that drew you to writing on it and building around that reflection?
Well, that's a really good question. You just mentioned that whole friends are the family you choose mm-hmm. kind of like saying, it's quite like omnipresent and you sort of take it for granted. But I specifically remember hearing it for the first time when I was maybe late teens, early 20s. And it just kind of blew my mind. You know, like I don't want to sound like a real basic person, but I was like, whoa, like, that's just so true, man. and you know, it has really stuck with me. And yeah, like kind of like reflecting on that time, which is like a really formative time for kind of everyone. I have enough time and perspective to look back on it quite objectively and be like, wow, you know, these were the kind of edgy kind of what people thought were kind of like unsafe places for me to be spending my like teenhood.
Yeah.
And in many ways, you know, sometimes they were kind of quite wild and crazy and unpredictable. But ultimately, like so many of these people and so many of those experiences really shaped kind of my outlook on the world and the person that I became. And it was like kind of like a shared history within the band. Like, we all grew up going to like all ages shows, like hardcore punk stuff.
Mm.
But then also like going and playing in like punk flats or like squats or like really, really creepy like goth flats. So stuff like that. But, you know, from the outside, it looks like that these are kind of like quite extreme situations or quite extreme communities. But they are like, in many ways, like most gentle and most open-minded and most supportive spaces for like teenagers to, you know, explore
yeah.
who they are. And yeah
and I think being a teenager, part of it is being a little bit scared, you know, knowing that you're probably near a line, but you kind of need to know that that line exists and to see the other side a little bit.
Yeah, totally. And also just like hear about, you know, things that are going on in the world from a different perspective other than, I guess, what you're learning at school or what you're learning through your parents. It's like, you know, I didn't understand what, like, anarchy was, you know, through school or through my parents.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, like, I'm in an anarchist flat talking with, like, you know, there's, like, a line in the song where it's, like, Y2K Marxists, like, you know. it's of that time. It's like, yeah, you learn about these things in these spaces and it kind of just reshapes your idea of the world around you.
Yeah. Mm. And do you still feel a part of those communities to some extent?
Yeah, definitely. it's so funny that I'm like talking about the song and like, I'm like, yeah, actually – it's all woven into the lyrics. Like, there's this line, it's like, the truth has got to be unfair. Like, you might probably grow up and grow out of a lot of those spaces in a way, but in a way, I feel like you can't fully leave that stuff behind. Like, I say that it shapes me, and I still believe that it does. There are a lot of kind of small kind of like political things that I think we all do in our lives that we carry on, especially like within the band. It's quite like a community-minded, ethically driven in the best possible way. Kind of like band. It's always, the band has always done things that have been a little less industry standard. And so it is definitely still, you know, a part of our lives today. Not as much as it was in the past, but still very prevalent.
And the track, it sonically feels both very reminiscent of your early work, but is still grounded in a modern sensibility. What was the mindset going into crafting this new EP in terms of instrumentation, sorry, and genre influences?
Well, I guess one of the main things that came a little bit full circle was for the last iteration of the band, we didn't have our main kind of like keyboard, bass, like synth player, and I had kind of taken on that role. And so we went through a few years of being a three-piece and a bit more kind of, I guess I didn't play guitar in that instance of the band. It was like, there's too much going on and I need to cover the ground on the keys, so I'll just not play guitar anymore. And so with Aiden back in the band, it's allowed me to play guitar, and invariably it just means that we're a bit more ruckus. And in a way, I think that's the reason why it kind of harks a little bit back to the earlier sort of so modern sound, which is this kind of guitar interplay with like me and Mark, the other guitarist, just kind of bouncing off each other and making a bit more noise on that front. But it also just felt like, because we hadn't written songs as a band for, you know, X amount of years, that was kind of almost like the most natural place to pick things back up. And so it's sort of like this weird thing where it's like, Sosa Modern sounds like Sosa Modern. It's like, should we sound like a different band just because time has passed? If anything, I think we have more like focus and restraint. Like, a lot of these songs have been like really reduced down to kind of like their core elements, which I think is a thing that we didn't used to do when we were a younger band. It was just like all in, total chaos, like let's write a song that has 16 parts and like we'll figure out the lyrics later, you know, like stuff like that. So in a way, it's the so modern sort of like vibe, but perhaps, I don't know, I don't want to say like the word maturity, but like, you know, it's got a perspective on it now that it didn't have earlier.
Yeah, totally. And that leads me on to my next question. You know, obviously 13 years, it's quite some time. There's a gap. You have had lives in that time, your careers, life events. I'm sure that they've informed this EP in terms of maturity, but also just in terms of what you're bringing is different.
Oh yeah, totally. And that's, I think it's like, the wild thing about Sosa Modern is that all the band members, basically apart from myself, are like kind of really talented and very successful individuals in their fields.
You're being hard on yourself.
Oh no. Like, I've had a good ride of making music and still on that journey big time. But yeah, it's kind of like the band serves as this counterweight to the reality of, I guess, like being a bit older and a bit more, you know, grounded and mature and having that career, like, you know, being in a band, even at this point in our lives, is kind of just as chaotic as it was so many years ago. It's like, you have to be kind of insane to still be in a band when you realize actually how like draining and and like just overwhelming it can be at times. Don't get me wrong, I love it. I will always like look out for this chaos in my life. I kind of need it in some way to thrive, but yeah, I think that's perhaps the reason why the band still exists, is that we collectively all kind of need it in some way, just to sort of, you know, a bit of a reality check. It's like life doesn't have to be so serious.
Yeah. And I imagine that it's almost being in it now, it's kind of in a more pure and authentic form where you know exactly the reality of what it is and what it means to be in that band and the future of it. And you're still choosing to be a part of it and still going, well, you know, it's a necessity. It's not a want, it's a need.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's for better or worse, it's a need. We're lucky to have a very, you know, some very supportive arrangements that when we need to like disappear for, you know, a whole like 48 hour kind of boot camp rehearsal before playing a show, like we can kind of do that and get away with it. So yeah, lucky to still have that all on the go.
And the title track, Peace Talks, here, the title of the single, sorry, the title of the track, Peace Talks. Are you in peace talks with your former self, your memories? what does that represent?
I guess like we have always had this like kind of optimism like within the band. For a while, like we were talking about this EP being grim optimism in a way, like we, regardless of how grim the outlook of life can be, like you have to have this prevailing optimism to get you through a lot of things. And it felt like these themes are kind of like tied in with Peace Talks as a general theme, not in the kind of like political sense, but just like talking your way through to a more peaceful situation, or like peace in the face of like oppression, and like peace just being a means of resilience. Our t-shirt that we've just made is a, like an exploded view hand pulling a peace sign. It's like quite gory and quite intense, but it's actually like very well-meaning. It's just like peace prevails. Peace is what we're all trying to find in many different ways. And so I think in a roundabout way, the title is kind of pulled in through, I guess, that chaos of going back to those kind of fringe communities. Like a lot of these, you know, communities are basically finding their peace with, you know, society at large. And I always just think about like kind of like talking about war and politics in these kind of like, you know, anarchist kind of like cross-punk flats. I'm like, how am I talking about really like high end kind of like cerebral topics with people that can't take a shower? It's fascinating, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
No, that's it's very true. Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Now, a couple more questions before we end off, but just in terms of the Aotearoa music industry, how does it look different now to when you started? And do you feel like it's something you try and keep your finger on the pulse of, or are you like, nah, it doesn't matter, it doesn't need to inform me?
Whoa, well, I mean, it has changed. It has changed just so much. And this is kind of one of those questions where I really feel my age, because, you know, we, like, if I just look from the perspective of the band, we started releasing music and we would burn like two songs on a CDR and sell that for $5. And we would sell like, you know, 50 or 60 copies of that at a show. And, you know, do the math. It's so far beyond what you'd ever see from streaming from an indie band. And then now we're pressing our music like six tracks on an LP, on an EP, and selling that for 50. And then there's this like, you know, streaming, and it will pay us absolutely nothing. So it's such a wild pivot. I'm like, it's in many ways one of the most insane times, or like eras, to have lived through in the music industry. Maybe we'll look back on it and just be like, that was so crazy. We should do like posthumous royalties for all of the musicians that we screwed over.
Yeah. And
but,
you
the music like industry around and on the scene in New Zealand, like I guess we have just held on to kind of the hope that people will still like appreciate the music when it drops and come through to the shows when they happen. Yesterday, like, dropping this single was a really beautiful reminder of actually how far the band did reach, like, at its peak. Like, I mean, I was getting emails from people in France, like, orders for t-shirts from people in, like, Austria and America, and people checking in from, like, all over the country and, like, Australia. And I was like, you know, you sometimes forget about that stuff when you just sort of lay dormant and the internet is just doing its thing and feeding you lots of distractions. It's quite grounding when people get in touch. Yeah,
nice to know that people don't forget. You know, that's not something that disappears from their brain. If it's something they enjoyed, they're still enjoying it.
Totally. I had people emailing me on email threads from like 2012, like yesterday, being like, whoa, new service of modern, like what's going on? Are you gonna come back to France? You're always welcome in France.
Great, now you get to go to France.
Here's hoping. I'm not kidding, at one of the latter peaks of the band, we got flown over to France to play one show, and I'm like, can we get that again, please? I'd love to have a nice little French Riviera holiday. Maybe not in the middle of a heat wave, but if we could figure out climate change and make it not a heat wave.
Yeah.
But when we get flown over to play another show, that'd be great.
Yeah. Step one, figure out climate change.
Yeah.
Step two, change the music industry back to when you can get flown out for one flight.
Yes.
Amazing. Now, the EP releases this October 9th via Flying Nun and Holiday Records. It'll have an exclusive vinyl release. There's the Flying Nun pink and white variant and the Holiday Records black and orange variant, each exclusive to 150 copies. And these are up for pre-order. Peace Talks, you can find it. You can go to Bandcamp. You can get it. Can we expect any upcoming tours for this one?
We've got a couple of shows booked. I think we need to get, like, you know, some local festival funding to get the band. Because the band's kind of split between Auckland and Wellington. So pulling together for a show and a tour is no mean feat. But hopefully we want to get down south for some shows, for some festivals if we can manage. But in the meantime, we're doing Great Sounds Great in Wellington, and then we'll do like kind of like an all ages double show, like an all ages kind of matinee and an R18 one, again in Wellington, in the Newtown Community Centre, you know, just bringing it back to the community.
Hoping
to get down south for some shows for sure.
Oh, beautiful. We would love to have you. Thank you so much for your time, Grayson. It's been lovely chatting with you this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been great.
Sweet. Here is So So Modern on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. Peace Talks ahead of the upcoming EP dropping October 9th.
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.